Well, good afternoon. Chances are there are many sweet aromas that were filling most of our homes this past week. I know there's sometimes extenuating circumstances. Maybe there are some reasons some people didn't do that, but that's usually the rule for us here. And for those watching in North America, we have our Thanksgiving holiday, which is sort of a Thanksgiving meal that we have where we thank God for all the things that we have, and it has a long storied history in the U.S. And with this meal that's fresh on our minds and the smell's still fresh in our noses and perhaps the leftovers not staying so fresh in our fridges by this point, I thought it'd be nice to look back on some aspects of the grain offering in Leviticus, the Levitical grain offering that God gave his people at Mount Sinai. Now, you don't need to turn to Leviticus 2 quite yet. We'll get there. Leviticus, just by way of background, you might remember it begins with five chapters with five principal offerings, five main types of offerings to God: the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Now, a few months ago, I spoke in the afternoon about the first of those offerings, the burnt offering. And when we talked about that, I mentioned how with these five offerings, three of them have nothing to do with sin. Only two of them, the sin offering and the trespass offering, actually relate to sin, but three of them don't. And we recognize that Christ, our Savior, became our perfect sacrifice once for all through his death and his resurrection. And sometimes when we talk about the overall story of the Bible, whenever we think about it and talk about it to people, we may kind of shorthand it and we say, well, Christ came and he died for our sins. And while that is earth-shattering, and that is life-giving truth, I think sometimes it can be easy for us to lose sight of the fact that there's even more that he did, that there's even more that he accomplished. He fulfilled the requirements of all the law and all the offerings. Christ fulfilled the sin offering and the trespass offering through the process of his death and his resurrection, but he also fulfilled the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the peace offering through the way that he lived his life. Those three offerings, those were the sweet savor offerings, as they're called in the Bible, sweet aromas to the Lord. Those offerings weren't about sin. Instead, I think we can see in them that they paint a picture of a perfect life, the kind of life that the Apostle Paul talked about being the second man, the last Adam, a life that's lived in perfect harmony with God. Now, again, before we turn to Leviticus 2, I've got one more note to tell you here, one more thing to think about. One more thing I'd like to highlight here, actually, is that the burnt offering and the grain offering, those first two offerings, are often tied together through the Bible, through Numbers, Ezra, Judges, and a number of other books. You'll find them coupled together, put together, where it talks about the burnt offering and its grain offering, or the burnt offerings with their grain offerings. So they relate in some way. But how do those offerings relate together? Well, let's turn over to Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 29, someone once came to Jesus and asked him the question, which is the greatest commandment? Now, a few months ago, when we looked at the burnt offering, we looked at how the animal was cut up and it was arranged on the altar, and these different pieces were put there, and how those pieces reflect how Jesus himself described our obligation to God. He answered the man, Mark 12, 29 and 30, the first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And he's quoting there from Deuteronomy 6 as he's answering them there. And within the symbolism of that first offering, the burnt offering, Christ is the man who perfectly did this, who completely satisfies man's duty to love God, while also setting an example for us, for all of us to follow. But Jesus didn't stop there, and I always like to think in my mind's eye of this conversation. I imagine the scribe asked this question, and he got this great answer, and he was happy with the answer, and maybe he even nodded, and maybe started to turn away, and I always imagine Jesus leaning in and saying, and the second is like it. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As this conversation gets recorded by Matthew in Matthew 22, Jesus follows that and he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it sort of begs the question, why did Jesus give him a two-for-one answer? He was probably already happy with the first part of the answer. but he gave him a second part too. So let's turn back to Leviticus 2 now. Leviticus 2. Leviticus 1 is about the burnt offering. Leviticus 2 is about the grain offering. In the burnt offering, we get this picture of a man satisfying God by serving him with every part of himself. He's giving his whole self to God. And in Leviticus 2, in the grain offering, we get this picture of a man satisfying God by his service to his fellow man. So in verse 1 of Leviticus 2, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take it from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. So with the offering before, the burnt offering, it was all put on the altar, and it was completely burned up. It all went to God. This offering was not. Most of it went to the priests to eat. And so this was man's food for the most part. The one handful was taken out, and all the frankincense was put in that, and that was put on the altar, and it burned, and it had this sweet aroma to it. But it satisfied man. So the grain offering feeds man, it satisfies man, but by doing so, it satisfies God in this picture. Jesus gave the Father satisfaction through serving his fellow man. And so it is when we serve others, we continue to give God this kind of satisfaction, this rising of this sweet aroma to the Lord. We know that Jesus is the ultimate man who satisfies God as man's grain. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He multiplied bread for thousands during his life. Most notably, he was the bread of life. His life was dedicated to the service of others in a way that satisfies God. We can't do enough things to fulfill this commission. We can't do those on our own to fulfill the things that Jesus fulfilled. But nevertheless, he set this pattern for how we can order our lives. Now, when you look at that offering in Leviticus 2, we see that it was fine flour. It was an offering of fine flour, oil, and frankincense. This sacrifice required frankincense and not honey. And frankincense, I am not very familiar with. I don't know if some people here are. What I read about it is that it's this chunky, hard tree resin that its value is not on its surface. It's sort of locked in there. You have to actually put it under fire to get those pleasing aromas to come out. And honey, which you're commanded not to put in this offering, is the opposite. You put that in fire, and it tastes sweet at first, but then it sours, and it becomes something that's useless under flame. And that's striking to me. It seems our service to others is not always easy. Certainly not always easy. It's often very hard, and it's often most expressed and exposed through difficult times. You see further down in Leviticus 2 also that leaven was not to be used in the offering. Leaven wasn't to be used, but salt was always supposed to be used. It was supposed to be seasoned with salt. And that's interesting because salt is a preservative, where leaven is actually a kind of corruption. Salt's a preservative against corruption. So I think it's worth us asking, when we think about this as a service, how does our service last? Is it the kind that lasts? Christ performed a service for us that lasts for eternity. And we can't do that, but we can see that God's Spirit, when it's in us, it does guide us to find ways, big and small, that serve other people, that have a lasting impact on people and on their lives. And we can build up the church using materials that last. Let's turn over to James 1. James 1, I mentioned that the Bible often connects the burnt offering and the grain offering to each other, like two sides of a coin. And in doing this, it reveals the two great commands. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The first four of the Ten Commandments. And then love your neighbor as yourself, the last six. Or if you want, number five can sort of go either way, I suppose, in that. And What we see there are two sides of one coin. You can't mint a one-sided coin. The Apostle John once wrote, even, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And then I love the way that James puts it here in James chapter 1, verse 27, where he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I love it because in saying it that way, James, he's pulling together the two great narratives of the time of the prophets. What are the things that just keep coming up as you read through the prophets? It's idolatry and it's injustice. And here he's brought those things together. Love God, love others. The two great commands, pure and undefiled religion. Visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, the Bible tends not to spell out the meanings of things along the way for us. And certainly if you look in a lot of commentaries on Leviticus 2, they'll sometimes call the grain offering the tribute offering. And they call it the tribute offering because the Hebrew word for it, and used in other parts of the Bible, is the exact word you use anytime you're bringing a present or a gift to, say, an emperor over your land. A vassal king will bring this kind of offering to the Assyrian power or whatever that's over the land. It gets used a lot in that way. So it makes a statement that you know where your blessings are coming from, and that's why it's a tribute offering. So with this offering, a fine flour mixed with oil, you're quite literally showing through the process of offering it that you, as we say in English, we know which side our bread is buttered on. And one of the ways that we live this out, that we live this Thanksgiving out, is by serving others. These are sacrifices that continue today in a spiritual temple. In the grain offering, we find a picture of man satisfying God in his service to fellow man, and that's a sweet aroma to the Lord. I'd like to close, pardon me, just by reading a passage from 2 Corinthians 9. This was as the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinth church, and he was raising a relief fund for the church in Jerusalem because they had a regional famine there. So he was getting this money together, raising these funds, and he wrote to them this, and this is what I'll close with. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 15. Now may he, that is God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Well, through proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.